Well, we have a split sermon venue today, and for the first split sermon, our pastor, Mr. Stephen LeBlanc.
Thank you, Mr. Bagley, and that handout you can pass out. Got a couple of handouts for you today. The subject today is the King of the South. I want to take a look at something that is mentioned in prophecy, which is very important. The King of the South. As a matter of fact, the longest prophecy in the Bible, which is found in the book of Daniel chapter 11, deals with the King of the South. So I wanted to give you a visual awareness of what we're talking about. So on Zoom, those of you on Zoom, if I could ask Dr. Waddle to put up the image of Europe with the green and the red on the map, if he could do that on Zoom, and we'll take a look. Yes, very good. If you take a look at the map that has the green and the red, those are the historical locations of where Islam or the Muslim world drove on into Europe and took over those regions. It had often been the desire of the world of Islam to take over the whole world, including Europe. So this actually happened in the 700s, and then later on it happened as well. I'm not going to get into the dates, but in the 1400s and the 1500s, once again, the Ottoman Empire came to power and took over parts of Europe. So there were quite a few parts of Europe that were clearly dominated by Islam. Islam reached as far north as into France. It overwhelmed Spain, and they wanted to push on further to where you see Poland and even into the United Kingdom, but they were defeated at the Battle of Tours. I'm not going to get into too many dates here. It gets confusing. But on a couple major historical events, they wanted to conquer. I was listening to Melanie Phillips out of the UK yesterday, and she was talking about Islam. She's very good. Melanie Phillips. I think I will put something on the World Watch Today website, one of her interviews. Very astute, Jewish, but lives in London, writes a column for the Times out of London, comments a lot on Jewish affairs, State of Israel. She made the comment, and it is true, when you're a Muslim and you move to another country, it is part of your religious belief and should be, if you're deeply dedicated and a Muslim, to take control of that country. Now, moderate Muslims don't necessarily abide by that, but that is the thinking of a very committed Muslim. So that's the subject matter I wanted to talk about today. So let's go to Daniel chapter 11. We'll probably spend about the next 30 minutes just going through a few maps and some scriptures. So Daniel chapter 11, which is the longest prophecy in the Bible. It actually, in a way, begins in Daniel chapter 10 when you have these spirit beings fighting. And eventually, because Daniel is praying about what is to take place, eventually Gabriel breaks through and is able to go and speak with Daniel. In verse 21 of Daniel 10, it says, "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these demonic forces except Michael, your prince." So chapters 10 and 11 really go together, and even as you cross on over into chapter 12. Many, many years ago when I was at Ambassador College, I remember one of the faculty members said, at least once in your life, you should go through a thorough Bible study of Daniel 11. We're not going to do that today. We don't have time, but I do want to focus on this King of the South. What's the definition of this term? Because we're told in verse 40 of Daniel 11 that at the time of the end, the King of the South shall attack him. Now, we believe the King of the South will be an Islamic leader of the future. You take a look at the patterns of history. In the 700s, Islam under Muhammad and those who followed after him, pushed on into Europe to take control of Europe. And then you had the Crusades. And then later on in history, if you take a look at the red section, you can see where Islam pushed on into Europe once again from Turkey. So both the red and the green, again, were territories controlled by the Muslim world. And you were in big trouble if you weren't a Muslim. You had to pay these exorbitant taxes and so on. But what we find at the time of the end is this future leader in the Arab world, he's probably alive today, and we believe most likely he's going to be Arab, is going to galvanize many in the Islamic world to attack Europe in some way. It could be a series of terrorist attacks. It could be some other type of event, but it provokes this future European dictator we call the King of the North to say, I've had enough of it. We got to sort all this out, and I'm going to move into the Middle East and straighten this mess out. But you could see the tension between Europe and Islam has been there over the centuries, back and forth. That's an historical fact. So it'll happen one time again. In 65 BC, Rome took control of what was called Syria, and it became the King of the North. North and south are reference points. If you're using a compass, Jerusalem is the center point, and to the north, you have this European power. To the south, you would have Egypt. You could even take a look at some of our old literature going back to the 30s and 40s and 50s and so on, where we would focus a lot on Egypt. Willie Bremer gave a very detailed, involved message during the feast on Egypt. We can see from the prophecy Egypt will play a role again. Egypt has over 100 million Arabs. America has about 329 million citizens. Egypt has over 100, maybe 102 million Arabs, the biggest population base in the Arab world. But we don't hear much about Egypt right now. We have a friendship with Egypt, so to speak, and Egypt signed a peace accord with Israel some years ago. But the best speculation is that this future Muslim Mahdi of sorts is going to arise in Egypt. But that's a guess. He doesn't have to be that. I think you know that al-Baghdadi was taken out finally in Syria. Osama bin Laden, you could say, was a type of Mahdi. The Islamic world, for the most part, believe there's going to be this Islamic savior, you see. And they're awaiting the savior. So this future charismatic Muslim leader will gain enough attention. He'll probably be like a type of a Mahdi, a type of savior. So we wait and we watch. Is the man alive today? I would think so. But I don't know who it is. Satan will work with that individual when Satan determines he will work with that individual. But right now, good to keep your eye on Egypt. Again, this man doesn't have to come per se from Egypt, but down through history, Egypt was a constant problem for Israel and Jerusalem, so to speak. And many of the past dictators who were troublesome, Nasser was from Egypt in the late 60s. He was very charismatic, formed this Arab League, and then he died of a heart attack all of a sudden. But he was big, and most of us wouldn't even remember him, but it's going to happen again. So the message is the King of the South, the King of the South, the King of the South today. And so if you go through Daniel 11, you just see the historical back and forth between a European power, Rome, for many years, and then a southern power south of Israel, which would be Egypt. Now, in the future, it could be somebody from Saudi Arabia and so on. Personally, I don't think the King of the South is going to be an Iranian for different reasons. Iran is predominantly Shiite, but Iranians look down upon the Arab world. They think the Arab world and the Saudis and the Egyptians are very low class. There's a lot of class hatred. So I just don't buy the argument, and it's out there, that Iran is somehow the King of the South. And I don't want to get into that argument. It's just too much. So let's go to verse 36. We wait for an appointed time in the future when the king, chapter 11 and verse 36, when the king shall do according to his own will. Now this is talking about the King of the North. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. It existed in a way as a shadowy type in Adolf Hitler. Hitler was Catholic, but Hitler didn't abide by Catholicism. Hitler honored a god of the fortresses and of the army. And you're going to see a similar-like figure come out of Europe who will be the king of the north. So this can be looked upon as something that is going to take place in the future. Verse 37, this king of the north, this European dictator, this future despot type of Hitler, he shall regard neither the god of his fathers nor the desire of women. He may use religion, and he will use the Catholic Church to help solidify Europe in support of what he determines to do. But he's not going to bow to anyone. Then it says, nor the desire of women, in verse 37, nor regard any god. Very difficult structure here. Very difficult to know exactly what that means. Many of the former Roman emperors were crazy people. Nero married his male slave, where one of his male slaves was a man. And then later on, he had another marriage with a man where Nero was the female and his male, whatever, was his husband. I mean, this is historically, you can read about it. You don't waste your time. You're dealing with crazy people. So who knows what we're going to see in the future? We just don't know. It's hard to know here. It could have to do with his religious beliefs. He doesn't have any, which he doesn't really. But what we do know, he shall exalt himself above them all. And this is what Hitler did. This is what Stalin did. This is what you have when you have these brutal beast dictators. They're animals. And they hurt and they maim and they kill. And who knows what their private life is like. It must be ghastly. But verse 38, but in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses. It's going to be geared towards military adventurism. And a god which his fathers did not know, he shall honor the god of gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Well, he will be quite wealthy and he'll buy people off. And then verse 39, then he shall act against the strongest fortresses and with a foreign god which he shall acknowledge and advance in glory. I don't want to talk today about the king of the north too much. I just want to give you the backstory here. And then in verse 40, so at the time of the end, this king of the south, a Mahdi, an Islamic figure, is going to attack this king of the north. And the king of the north, this European Hitler-like figure, will then move very quickly like a whirlwind into the Middle East with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. This king of the north, verse 41, he shall also enter the glorious land in the Middle East, well, particularly Israel. And many countries will be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hands, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. So in the territory of Jordan and so on, they escape for a while. Do those people have an agreement with this European power? It's a very interesting passage. Verse 42, he shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So Egypt is obviously troublesome at the time of the end. It's speculation that most likely this future leader would be Egyptian. Doesn't have to be. I don't think it's the current leader, al-Sisi. Al-Sisi doesn't have enough clout in the Arab world or in the world of Islam. Most of the Islamic world in the Middle East is Arab. The minority is Persian. Okay, so remember, the Iranians look down on all those low-life, dirty Arabs. Literally, they do. A lot of contention there. Not in every case. There are some agreements. Iran has an agreement with Hezbollah in Syria and so on, but it gets a little bit complicated. You know, the Middle East is just a crazy place. So this king of the north moves in to sort things out. Now, if you take a look, I have a map with all these arrows. And Dr. Mike, I can't remember if I gave you that map. It's just a great map. Yes, thank you very much. It's on Zoom. And those of you here have it. This is what happened in 2015, where you had this flood of refugees, in a sense, a Muslim invasion of Europe again, but refugees just pour into Europe. And you see, they don't have big walls or borders. How do you stop these people? So many flooded through Turkey. Others came up through Algeria or Morocco or Tunisia. Then they went into Italy. So what you're seeing with the arrows is still taking place, but it's greatly diminished, okay? Not anywhere near the tens of thousands, but you still get a few hundred every week to make their way on into Europe. Turkey, which is pivotal here, is basically the plug, because most people will go through Turkey and then head on over into Bulgaria and up through Macedonia and Romania. And of course, they want to get to Germany, or they want to get to Sweden or places like that. It's interesting, they won't go to Poland, because the Poles just, they won't have anything to do with them. And they know that. But you can see this invasion taking place. Again, it is a type of pushing. I'm not saying this is a fulfillment of the prophecy that the king of the south shall push against the king of the north, but you can just see the tension again on the rise. Turkey's a plug. There are about 3 million, mostly Muslims from the Middle East, in various locations, cities, and camps in Turkey. And Erdogan of Turkey said a couple weeks ago, as I mentioned in my message, that the European Union better be good to Turkey, or else. Erdogan just said it publicly. I was very bold. That man's not afraid of much. In a speech, he said, we'll release all these refugees and we'll let them flood into Europe. He holds really good cards. So the European Union paid Erdogan of Turkey, I can't remember, it was 3 or 4 billion euros to kind of control the flow, control the masses. So this is a powder keg. So you got to please Erdogan in Turkey. You've got, in Germany, 4 million Muslims of Turkish descent in Germany, because the Germans brought them in to help them do jobs, and usually lower wage jobs were taken by these people. It's a tangled web there. So I wanted to just show you this tension between Europe and Islam is still there. And it's just something to keep in mind. And I wanted you to see the significance of all of this. Now, in terms of statistics, there are over 52 million Muslims in Europe today. Again, you have all these time bombs ready to go off. Russia, believe it or not, has 23 million Muslims. So a lot of the lower skilled labor pool in Russia today are Muslims from kind of the eastern regions like Kazakhstan and Tajikistan and places like that. Moscow has almost 2 million Muslims. Moscow is a city of about 12 million. So there's always little flare-ups of tension in Russia. France has 6.3 million. Germany's probably closer to 6.4 million Muslims. Remember, Germany has a population of about 82 to 83 million. So these are big issues over there. It's just always below the surface. United Kingdom, 33,160,000, probably a little bit more than that. Italy's probably approaching 3 million. It's been very hard on the Italian economy because of all these refugees. Bulgaria, the Netherlands, Spain, Belgium. Belgium's a small country, so when you see 900,000, I'm trying to think, Belgium, I think, is about 11 million. That's a big percentage. Greece can't handle it economically. Austria, Sweden, what, 10 million, I think? It's about 10 million, Sweden. So the Swedes are overwhelmed. It's a real, real problem. So that's always below the surface, and constantly it is in the news in Europe. We don't hear about the tension of what is taking place in the European theater regarding Islam and the such, because we're focused on Ukraine and will the president be impeached. We have our dramas here. But some of these things that are happening over there are truly significant. So many Muslims are waiting for this Islamic savior, this what we would probably would think of as this king of the south. And he's going to rise up in Arabia somewhere, maybe in Saudi Arabia, but then he could live somewhere else. And then there's all these details about what he will look like. And they will carry black flags. And that's what ISIS did, if you remember their flags. They'd carry these black flags. Well, ISIS still exists. They haven't gone away totally, though they're greatly minimized in power, but still a lot of trouble there. So eventually Jesus Christ is going to have to deal with all of this, and this is yet ahead of us. There's an interesting movie, if you ever want to see it, if you're interested in this, called Khartoum. And it was about a Mahdi of that day. I believe it takes place in the late 1800s. It's based on history, a British general called Gordon who was slaughtered by the Mahdi of that day. And it's called Khartoum, spelled with a K. A 1966 film starring Charlton Heston as British General Gordon. Laurence Olivier plays the Mahdi. It's pretty good if you're interested in history like that. We know it's coming, and we watch, and God spent a lot of time putting that prophecy before us so it has its place, right? We pay attention, and we watch, and we watch, and we await this future king of the South.